tomorrow night. And so our next broadcast is at 6 o'clock straight up tomorrow evening. For those of you listening on our flagship station in Kansas City, 610 Sports Radio, stay tuned for Vern's postgame show with Josh Vernier. Again, the final score tonight at Kauffman Stadium, the Orioles beat Toronto 9-5. For Denny Matthews, Jake Eisenberg, and our producer-engineer Eric Guthrie, Steve Stewart saying good night from Kauffman Stadium.
Kansas City Royals baseball has been brought to you by Sweet Baby Ray's Barbecue Sauce, the official barbecue sauce of the Kansas City Royals. The sauce is the boss. Sheet Metal Workers Local 2, Demand Metal Excellence. Capital Federal, True Blue for over 125 years. Equal Housing Lender, Member FDIC. You've been listening to Kansas City Royals baseball on the Royals Radio Network.
This has been a presentation of Odyssey Sports. For even more coverage of your team, download the free Odyssey app and listen to your favorite stations, shows, and podcasts.
Welcome in to Vern's postgame show.
Massey not stopping in second and slides into third with a two-run triple.
Here's Josh Vernier.
9-5, the final score. Royals pick up a win. Phone lines are open for you. We all needed this, right? Well, I know. I don't need to ask that as a, I don't need to pose that as a question. Of course, we all needed that one. So, Royals fans, what did that one do for you? Because even if you are the most tenured Royals fan out there, even if you never panicked despite the 0-3 start, even if you knew, man, we got 159 games remaining in this season, this offense is going to score, MJ and Bobby and Vinny are going to break out in a big way, it's inevitable. Even if you were utilizing perspective, you still needed to see it, didn't you? So what did this one do for you, Royals fans? How are you feeling now? After being swept by the division rival Minnesota Twins, the big, bad Blue Jays come to town. Third best odds in all of the American League to represent the junior circuit in the World Series. Shoot, Toronto was my World Series representative from the AL, dating back to spring training. So they come to town with Jose Berríos. Royals trot out a lineup without Salvador Perez, and the offense breaks out in a big way. They pick up win number one in game number four, and just like that, you can feel the collective sigh of relief from Royals fans coast to coast. So you, if you were one of the near 11,000 in attendance, if you were dialed in on the Odyssey app or on television, how much has the temperature changed, the attitude? In the past 24 hours, how much has your faith, your hope, your excitement for the remaining 158 games, how much has it changed, if at all? I'd love to hear from you. The phone lines are open, 913-586-7610. That's 913-586-7610. This one tonight did a lot for me. Four different aspects of this game tonight stood out to me. I'll dive into that coming up in a moment. But first, I want to hear from you. Again, the phone number, the text line number, 913-586-7610. Let's start off in Prairie Village. Ben, you're hitting leadoff following the first win of the season. How you feeling?
Hey, Vern. Ben here. Pretty stoked about the first win of the season. It's been a while since we felt something like that. I do have one gripe, though. They did not play the Hey, Hey, Hey song at the end of the game. Really? Felt like I haven't had a win in a long time, and I needed that. Go Royals. We are back. World Series back on. Thanks, Vern.
There you go, Ben. Interesting. Yeah, I did not notice, and I do not know whether or not that has been discontinued. I'll have a full report tomorrow. No Beatles, Kansas City after the game? Hey, there was something. I don't know if you guys noticed. If you were in the stadium, you may have noticed that when Vinny Pasquantino had that two-out double in the fourth inning, a part of the Royals' four-run fourth inning to jump out in front 7-0. When Vinny hit that double in the fourth inning, did you guys see that? I mean, it was a person dressed up as a Sasquatch, a Pasquatch, if you will, above the Royals Hall of Fame. Did you see the Sasquatch walking around in front of the retired numbers and all the pennants up there? I mean, I thought I was hallucinating for a while, and then, no, I got to confirm that, yeah, whenever Vinny picks up a knock, the Pasquatch can be seen above the Royals Hall of Fame. You guys notice that? 913-586-7610. Freaked me out for a while until it was explained to me exactly what that hairy beast was above the Royals Hall of Fame. I'm also really enjoying the new technology on Crown Vision, where it's showing Bobby Witt Jr. sprint speed as he steals second base in the third. It showed all the metrics of MJ Melendez's monstrous home run in the sixth inning. Was that not beautiful? Listen, you guys know about MJ Melendez's power. Right, when you heard me this spring saying I'd bet handsomely on MJ Melendez hitting 25-plus home runs, I can't imagine many of you were shocked to hear me say that, but for those that were, I direct your attention to that 2-1 offering in the sixth inning. A young man by the name of Zach Pop thought he was going to blow one by MJ Melendez. He did not. MJ destroyed that 2-1 fastball that was put right in the nitro zone, down and into a lefty. 113 miles per hour off of the bat. It travels 443. Good night. Phone lines are open for you. 913-586-7610. So what did this one do for you, Kansas City? We all needed it. Some were panicked. Some weren't. Apathy has set in for some, but did this force you to return? Remind you of why you had hope when you showed up on opening day? I don't know if I needed the reminder, but that's what it did for me. It reminded me that, yeah, no, you Vern, you're right. Now, MJ Melendez is a star. And boy, did he get it going in the first inning. Doubles to right. And after Vinny Pasquantino does not advance him to third, Bobby Witt Jr. picks up Vinny. And on a full count offering from a tough righty in Jose Barrios, Bobby keeps the hands in, fights it back up the middle for an RBI single. You know, that was something that stood out to me. I mentioned there were four things that I wanted to see, and I saw all of them tonight. One of the four is guys picking each other up. Now, you saw Bobby Witt pick up Vinny Pasquantino there in the first inning. You saw Brady Singer pick up Nate Eaton in the second inning, as that was a tough play. Right field, Matt Chapman hits one 104 miles per hour right at Nate Eaton out there in right field. That's tough to read off the bat. 104 coming right at you, you can't make a misstep. And understandably, Eaton did. It flies over his head for a two-out double, and just like that, after being staked to a 3-0 first-inning lead, Brady Singer finds himself, instead of out of a second-inning jam, it's now second and third with two outs. But Brady Singer locks in, gets Kevin Biggio staring at a fastball to finish off the frame, picking one another up. That's how you eliminate, I don't want to say pressing, because I don't believe guys were pressing three games into the season. But when you pick one another up, that's what allows you to just do your job. I don't need to hit a five-run home run. I don't need to do your job or his job or their job. I just need to do my job. And you know what? If I don't get it done, the guy behind me will pick me up. Haven't had many instances of, hey, you made a mistake, I got your back through the first three games. But it was on display throughout this 9-5 Royals victory. Again, phone number is 913-586-7610. Let's go to Big T in Shawnee. Big T, you're on the postgame show. Big T, what did this win do for you?
Hey, Vern, yeah, what this did for me, it just reassures that, hey, good pitching will follow up some good hitting finally tonight, Vern. I mean, it's not all doom and gloom. Sure, we do want to win one game against Minnesota. It didn't happen, but the boys picked it up tonight and they got their first win tonight. Take my hats off.
Yeah, Big T, again, the phone. You start off strong, and then it just sounds like you go underwater there, brother. I know of everybody that was in attendance, that was watching, that was listening. You're near the top of excitement, so sorry, unable to finish that phone call. Opens up a phone line for you, though, 913-586-7610. Double J in Kansas City. You're next up on the postgame show. Go ahead.
Vern, what's going on, man?
Hey,
I'll tell you what, great win tonight. Great team win by the boys tonight. MJ Melendez, Brady Sino pitching five quality innings tonight. Just a great win. Gets my confidence back up. I believe in this team. I mean, heck, I put a $20 parlay on us to win the division this year. If it pays out $820. I love the Royals. Ours will be. Win, lose, I mean, and like what was keeping my confidence up, I mean, I know our offense can be good. I mean, we got some good hitters and we got some pretty good pitchers, like in Brady, Greinke, who pitched Saturday? I can't think of his name.
No, you're telling on yourself right now.
But, I think we could, if they stay healthy, we could have, like, I mean,
Double like, J, man, you, thanks for the phone call. You can't come on and tell me that you bet $200 with your heart, say we got great pitching, and then it can only name two pitchers. First piece of advice, don't bet with your heart. Trust me, as a man that has lost hundreds and hundreds of dollars betting with his heart, do not do it. But yeah, you kind of told on yourself there when you're like, we got great pitching and could only name two guys. Speaking of pitching, Chris Bubich will be the Royals pitcher in Game 2. He squares off with fellow lefty Yusei Kikuchi. It's a 6:40 first pitch. I'll be on the air with the On Deck Show beginning at 5:30. Coming up, we'll hear from Brady Singer. We'll hear from Nicky Lopez. And I want to explain exactly what this win tonight did for me. I mentioned them picking one another up. First time we've really had examples of that, which is needed, especially for a team trying to grow together, learn not only that they belong in the big leagues, but learn how to win in the big leagues. It begins, in my opinion, by trusting the guy behind you. Being willing to pass the baton, keep the line moving, as we used to say. A few other things stood out to me. We'll dive into that and much more after this.
Burns Post Game Show on your home for Royals Baseball, 610 Sports Radio, and the Odyssey app. Welcome back to Vern's Post Game Show on your home for Royals Baseball in Kansas City, 610 Sports Radio.
1-1. Lopez flicks it right center field toward the gap. Springer over. Can't get there. It's down for a base hit. Rolls all the way to the wall. Dozier's around third. He's in to score. JBJ right behind him. He crosses standing. And Nicky Lopez dives into third with a two-run triple. The Royals extend their lead. 5-0 now in the bottom of the fourth inning.
They go on to win 9-5. Jake Eisenberg, as heard here on 610 Sports Radio. Nicky Lopez scored a pair of runs. Shoot, every single Royal outside of the nine hitter either drove in a run or scored a run. Royals win 9-5. They pick up their first win of the season. Congratulations to Matt Quatrero and the rest of his coaching staff on their first win in the big leagues. But look, Nicky Lopez, the two-run triple that you just heard there in the fourth, he would score another run in the sixth thanks to a two-run behemoth blast from MJ Melendez. But it wasn't just offensively for Nicky Lopez. It was also defensively. How about that diving snag off of Vladimir Guerrero Jr. line drive in the first inning, helping Brady Singer work through a nine-pitch opening frame? Vinny Pasquantino had a nice defensive night, especially the third inning. Nice feed to Brady Singer on a close play at first. A nice dig out of the dirt on a low throw from Nicky Lopez. And then Jackie Bradley Jr. getting the nod in left field. He hauled in a 109-mile-per-hour missile right at him. I mentioned earlier Nate Eaton struggling with a liner right at him in the second. Understandable. Kid's playing in his... Has he played in more than a dozen big league games? How many of them have been in right field at a big league stadium? I can understand it from Nate Eaton, but you know, Jackie Bradley Jr., that's why he wears the gold glove. That was a beautiful play by JBJ. But look, when you win, you normally do the little things well. I thought the Royals were the better defensive team. Obviously on the mound, Brady Singer outdueled Jose Berríos. Base running wise, just a tremendous night on the base paths. Bobby Witt Jr. going first to third in the first inning. Michael Massey going first to third in the first inning. Stolen base from Bobby in the third. Stolen base from Nicky Lopez in the sixth. This terrific hustle. Vinny Pasquantino legging out a double in the fourth. Hunter Dozier scoring from second. Jackie Bradley Jr. scoring from first on that two-run triple from Nicky Lopez. Just a well-played baseball game on the mound, in the batter's box, on the base paths, and of course defensively in the field. We'll hear from Brady Singer coming up in just a moment, but I want to hear from you first. We all needed this. Not just the win, but we needed an offensive performance like this from these guys. And personally, what I said on the On Deck show was, I would love for tonight to be about somebody other than Brady Singer. Because I know that Brady Singer can snap a skid. 20 of his last 25 starts have come following a Royals loss. 20 of his last 25, 80% of his starts since the beginning of last season have come following an L. And in those 20 starts, Brady Singer is now 9-4 with a 2.94 ERA. Win day. Haven't had many win day guys since James Shields, Danny Duffy in 2016. Haven't had many guys. Yordano Ventura. 2014, 15, 16 when he was hot. Haven't been many guys that when you're driving to the ballpark, you're thinking, man, just scratch a few across and he'll take care of the rest. When the Royals put up three runs in the first inning, I told anyone around me that would listen, there is no excuse to lose this game. You've given Brady Singer a 3-0 lead. He's going to do his part. So offense, can you tack on? Defense, can you not cough it up? Bullpen, likewise. Can you avoid blowing this one? And they certainly did. Ryan Yarbrough with a scoreless sixth. Yeah, you had runs in the 7th, 8th, and 9th inning, but you had a healthy lead, which allowed Q and the rest of this coaching staff to extend the leash on a few relievers. So I asked you, what did this win do for you? I mentioned the first thing that stood out to me was guys picking one another up which is the first step of building a winning team, believing in the guy behind you. The fact that it wasn't all Brady Singer, that it wasn't him going seven scoreless and a sack fly by the Royals and they win 1-0, but the game's really about Brady Singer and we still have the same questions about the offense. No, that didn't happen. MJ, Bobby, Vinny combined to go 5-for-12 with 5 ribbies. Those are the guys that are going to make this an exciting summer. And they reminded you that, yeah, we still have the goods. Oh, you let 3 games worry you? Did you forget what I did last year? Did you forget about Bobby going 20-30? Did you forget about the prodigious power of MJ Melendez? Did you forget that Vinny Pasquantino had more walks than strikeouts? These guys are big leaguers. Above average big leaguers. Possibly stars in the big leagues. Nice of them to remind us. It was also nice to see them do it without Salvador Perez. Just as I said, I know that Brady Singer can snap a skid. I know Salvador Perez is ready for the big games, big moments. I know Salvador Perez is not going to let a 3-game losing streak force him to grip that bat tight. To win 9-5, to pick up that first win after being swept by the Minnesota Twins, and to do so without Salvi and without a quality start from Brady Singer. He goes 5 innings, gives up 1 run on 2 hits. I mean, he was good. That his slider was in that second, third inning, those 2 frames, that slider was dirty. And some of the swings he was getting on that slider in those first 3 frames were as ugly of swings as you're going to see. So to pick up a win without Salvi doing the damage, without Brady Singer putting the team on his back, to pick up a win because of MJ, because of Vinny, because of Nicky and Massey and Isbell and JBJ, that's what I needed. That's what tonight did for me. Although, one quick note on Brady Singer, it sure is nice to be reminded that this dude is never scared. I don't think we forgot it, but it's a nice reminder. I mean, I haven't forgotten him staring down the Dodgers and the Yankees and the Rays and the White Sox and the Guardians last season, giving you a strong 6-7 innings, giving you quality start after quality start against quality offense after quality offense. You've lost 3 straight. And as I said last night, our lonely eyes turn to Brady Singer. Please lead us to victory. And do so against George Springer, Bo Bichette, Vladdy Jr., Alejandro Kirk, Matt Chapman, and more. Do it against that monstrous Toronto lineup. Brady Singer just says, yeah, no problem. I got you. 9-pitch first inning, 9-pitch third inning, 10-pitch fourth inning. In fact, let's hear what Brady Singer had to say following his 5 innings of 1-run baseball. He picks up the win. He's now, obviously, 1-0 on the young season. Get this. In his last 10 starts at the K, Brady Singer's 7-0 with a 1.68 ERA. My word. Here's Brady Singer, courtesy of Bally Sports, Kansas City.
Yeah, hell of a game by everybody. I mean, the offense coming out and exploding in the first there was set the tone really good for the whole entire game, and the defense was incredible, and the pitching was great as well. So all around, everything was really good.
We asked this a lot last year. When you go out there with the losing streak, I mean, do you approach the game any
Yeah, I definitely want to try to, you know, stop that kind of skid that we're on there. But just trying to go out there and, you know, try to give us a chance to win, no matter if I have it that night or not. Just try to go out there and help as much as I can.
Evaluate your game.
Felt good. Fastball had some good life to it. I think the slider got me out of a few situations there. And, you know, I wish I could have got to the fifth a little bit easier, but limited the damage as much as I could there. I got a good double play. But other than that, everything felt good.
Were you out here for Q's celebration for his first win? And what did you see?
Yeah, it was awesome. I mean, it was super, you know, excited to get him his first one. And, you know, hopefully there's many more. But, no, it was great. We're really excited for him.
Is there anything just seem like this mm-hmm. looks different on Daniel Morgan?
No, I just think I had some better bite on it tonight. Not really trying to change the shape too much. We kind of mess with it, depending on the hitter and stuff like that. But no, I think it just had good bite tonight.
And the velo, especially in the first inning, was there just a little extra something on there being at your first?
Yeah, I think the velo was pretty good all game. I felt like in spring training in there for a little bit, I was a little bit down. But tonight the adrenaline got me going, and hopefully I can carry that throughout the season. Yeah, it's fine. Yeah. It was a good deflection. I'm glad I did it.
Yeah. Your defense with Nicky especially.
Yeah. Yeah, unbelievable. I mean, obviously I have a lot of confidence in them. I got some early contact there and just, let them do work. I mean, we have a heck of a defense, and it's really, easy to pitch with them behind me.
And what is that song in the background? That is, you guys moving too? That's getting me going. I don't know. Yeah, let me know what that, let me know if you know what song that is. Text line 913-586-7610. Yeah, they better be having a good time. Matt Cotrero wearing the champagne following his first W as the skipper of the Royals. His first big league W. Congratulations, Q. He'll take aim at win number 2 with another member of that 2018 draft class after Brady picks up the dub tonight. Chris Bubich will attempt to follow suit tomorrow night. Bubich squares off with fellow Southpaw Yusei Kikuchi, 6:40 first pitch. I'll be on the air with the On Deck Show live from Kraft and Draft beginning at 5:30. All right, let's head back to the phones. Following a 9-5 Royals win, we go to South Bend and talk with Tyler. You're on 610 Sports Radio. Go ahead.
Hey, Vern, thanks for taking the call. Glad to spend this first Royals win of 2023 celebrating with you. Win did for me is it called to mind what this lineup of kids can do, especially the teams with playoff aspirations. I mean, you look back to last year, 10-plus run performances against Boston and San Diego and Seattle, and they were just hitting the ball all over the yard today early on. Really good to see. So impressed by Nicky Lopez, too. You talked about embracing that role. As a guy who can slot in, provide good at-bats, and be a quality defender, diving catch in the first inning really set the tone, and then the play on the deflection by Brady Singer in the fifth inning was great to end his outing as well. Nice two-run triple, too, and then MJ Melendez, I guess the most well-struck ball in his career. Great to see him make, I think, his first trip to the Fountains. So that was pretty awesome. And then, enough of Brady Singer being the stopper. I want to see him be a starter in more ways than one, I guess, going forward, because Chris Bubich, appointment television tomorrow. Let's remember last year he went up to Rogers Center and threw 7 innings, didn't walk a single man, and against that right-hand lineup full of behemoths, that's going to be fun to watch. And Royals also have done a heck of a job against Yusei Kikuchi, 16 earned runs in the last 13 and two-thirds innings against him going back to mid-2019. So, hey, let's get back after it tomorrow, and you have a good night, Vern.
Yeah, you have a good night, and continue calling as often as you want. Tremendous stuff, Tyler. Man, I got nothing to add. Yeah, Nicky Lopez on base 3 times, 2-run triple, pair of walks, stolen base. And, maybe I had my doubts about Nicky Lopez as a shortstop a few years ago, but those have obviously subsided as he made a run at a gold glove, 2 years ago. Impressive. Impressive. And look, he could be a Royal for a long time. With the ability that he has, the versatility that he has, I think the leadership qualities that he has, even if you're not playing every day, you can still be a leader. Case in point, Jerod Dyson. But really, it's hard to find a Royal that had a subpar night. MJ Melendez, 2-for-5, a 2-run home run, and scores the first run of the game. Vinny Pasquantino, a solid night defensively, has a 2-out RBI double in the fourth. Bobby Witt Jr., big RBI knock in the first inning. Walks again. Picks up what is a third walk in 4 games? A 1-out walk in the third. He would steal his first bag of the season moments later. Yeah, his third walk in the first four games. Keep in mind, last year it took Bobby 21 games before he had his third base on balls. Michael Massey kept the train rolling in the first inning. Nice base running from Mass. Kyle Isbell continues to play a strong center field. He picks up an RBI knock in that three-run first inning. Hunter Dozier, leadoff single in the fourth. He comes around to score. Even his first inning ground out played it a run. Jackie Bradley Jr., I raved about his play in left defensively. He scores a run in that four-run fourth inning as he singled to right. Now, Nate Eaton had a evening to forget. But hey, it's baseball. There's going to be failure somewhere. I can promise you this. Nate Eaton will be able to flush it. I'm not worried about that young man gripping it too tight moving forward. Phone lines are open, 913-586-7610. Royals win 9-5. They go 6-for-16 with runners in scoring position. Now keep in mind, coming into today, the Royals were 1-for-20 in scoring situations. Dominated tonight, 6-for-16. Great job. Great job. Especially when you see it's MJ, it's Bobby, it's Massey, it's Vinny. It's guys that are at, well, the core of this organization. You know, my core is MJ, Vinny, Bobby, Salvi, and Singer. Those five. With Michael Massey knocking at the door, Kyle Isbell and Drew Waters and Daniel Lynch and Chris Bubich knocking at the door. Just need you to get sustained success. Just need some consistency from you. Give me a few months of quality baseball, solid defense at second base, Mass. Solid ABs from Kyle Isbell, and I think those guys cracked the core, and then suddenly we're talking about a lineup that is 5-6, you know, Drew Waters maybe even 7 deep. Now, personally, I've always viewed this 2023 Royals team as being led by its offense. If they're going to be successful, well, if any team's going to be successful, yeah, it starts with pitching and defense, no doubt. But my point is, if the Royals are going to get to a place where they're a competitive ball club, I think the facet of their team that is going to be able to impose their will on the opposition is the offense. The bats are the bullies. At the championship team of 14-15, the bully was the bullpen. You knew if you fell behind 2-0 in the second inning, man, we got four innings to get that lead or tie this thing up, or else the game's over, because once that bullpen door opens up, monster after monster after monster is going to trot out and we got no chance. I think most competitive teams have one of the five facets of the game. One of them can bully the opposition. One of them instills fear into that other dugout. And if the Royals are going to be a competitive team, it's my belief that the bully is going to be the lineup. Is MJ and Vinny, Bobby and Salvi, Massey, Isbell, hopefully Drew Waters sometime in May or June. Hopefully a Nick Prado could return sometime in, well, who knows. We'll see about a Michael Garcia. Well, you hope Chris Bubich tomorrow, Daniel Lynch when he gets healthy. You hope that eventually the rotation becomes the bully for this team. That's the dream of every organization, is to have, you know, what they've had in Cleveland, what they had years ago in Atlanta, where you're just throwing out a horse after another horse after another horse, and man, they're giving you 6-7 innings, 2 runs or less, and the offense just needs to keep the line moving, scratch a few across, and those horses on the bump are going to take care of the rest. So nice to see the facet of this team that needs to be the bully fit into the uniform. fit into that bully uniform and to do so without their biggest bully, Salvador Perez, giving the big fella, giving the captain a night off, and the boys pick him up. The boys let him know, hey, this isn't 2020. This isn't 2021 or 22 when it was so very obvious that if Salvi doesn't do the damage, damage isn't going to be done. It was tough. You knew Salvi had to capitalize every opportunity. Every time someone was in scoring position and the great number 13 was at the dish, he had to come through. Who else could you rely on? The hope for 2023 is that there's so much more than just Salvi that can change the game with one swing. And you got another peek of it tonight. The power of MJ, the five-tool talent of Bobby, the tremendous strike zone awareness, and bat speed of a Vinny Pasquantino, of a Kyle Isbell, of a Michael Massey. Man, is it nice to win, huh? 913-586-7610 is our phone number. I want to know what tonight's dub did for you. 913-586-7610. Let's go to Bentley in Kansas City. You're next up on the postgame show.
Yeah, Vern. Thanks for taking my call, man.
Yes, sir.
Hey, you know, winning does make a difference, right? Who would have thought? you know, I think about the... you know, the first text I think you read yesterday of the very uninformed individual that said he asked if MJ was the worst batter on the team.
Yeah.
MJ, man, that guy's fun to watch. Just a lot of fun to watch. I do worry a little bit about, you know, I feel like we're going to dominate left-handed pitchers this year, you know, kind of you know, really dominating from that left side of the plate. Who, I mean, I know we got some like Prado and maybe even a Gavin Cross, maybe some of those guys that could come up and hit from the right side of that plate. What do you think? Are we weak?
Well, Prado and Cross are both lefties.
Oh shit! Yeah, that's right. Oh, yeah, I'm
out.
Sorry.
Look out! And you're cussing. Okay, that's all right. That's all right. Apologize if that made it through. Look, yeah, you know, the Royals, I think, are set when it comes to lefty bats. MJ, Vinny, Massey, Drew Waters is a switch hitter, Nick Prado, Gavin Cross, for those unaware, last year's top pick. Just a beautiful left-handed swing. No, right-handed, that's actually where they needed a little bit more. That's why you go out and you get a Franmil Reyes. Put him with Bobby and Salvi, and now you got some right-handed pop to offset the left-handed pop of MJ, Vinny, and Massey. Thanks for the phone call, Bentley. Phone lines are open for you, 913-586-7610. We'll hear from Nicky Lopez and take a dive into that text line. Coming up, Royals win 9-5. We're back with more after this.
Burns Post Game Show on your home for Royals baseball, 610 Sports Radio, and the Odyssey app. Welcome back to Vern's Post Game Show on your home for Royals baseball in Kansas City, 610 Sports Radio.
Melendez clobbers it, deep right field, Springer's back, looks up, it's out of here! MJ Melendez blasts his first home run of the season! It's a two-run shot, and the Royals now lead 9-1 in the bottom of the sixth inning.
They'd go on to win 9-5. Jake Eisenberg on the call, as heard here on 610 Sports Radio. A two-run blast from MJ Melendez, who went 2-for-5, scored a pair of runs, and then, of course, plated the two that you just heard. 9 of his last 14 hits have gone for extra bases. Royals pick up win number 1 here in 2023. Win number 1 in the managerial career of Matt Cutrero. After the game, he was asked about his hitter's approach. As the Royals, 8 of the 9 hitters in the lineup had a knock. 8 of the 9 hitters in the lineup either scored a run or drove in a run. Here's what Q had to say about his O
tonight. I thought they were well prepared. You know, just listening to what they were saying about how Berríos was going to pitch and, you know, what they were looking for, I thought they were well prepared. And obviously they squared some balls up. The other thing that really stood out was the base running and going first to third two or three times in that one inning, forcing the issue, taking advantage of our athleticism was big.
You may have heard a noise in the background. That was me frustrated because that was going to be my question. How impressed were you with the base running? Because I know I was. The base running, the deep, well, you won a baseball game. Of course, you're going to be impressed. Right? It's not very often you win a baseball game behind bad defense, bad base running. You got to do the little things well. And the Royals defended well, ran the bases well, pitched well. Brady Singer, five innings of one-run baseball. Ryan Yarbrough continued to pound the strike zone. I'll give him that. Man, when you're not touching 90 miles per hour with your fastball, when you're breaking balls or upper 70s, and your heater's coming in there at 86, and they're fouling pitch off, and spitting on this and fouling that off, and you throw a 30-pitch sixth inning, and yet you don't allow any damage. You remain patient. You remain on the attack. You don't give in. Nice job, Ryan Yarbrough. Nice job, Jose Quas. I understand. He walked the first batter that he faced. Quas comes in the seventh inning with the bases loaded and one out. Vladimir Guerrero Jr. coming to the dish. You know what? I got no problem with a leadoff walk or walking the first batter that you face. I'm not going to begrudge you for doing that. Keep in mind, when Quas came out of the bullpen there in the top of the seventh inning, the Royals are already up 9-2. So you know what? Instead of giving up four runs and making a bad pitch to Vladimir Guerrero Jr., I'm fine with a walk. I'm fine with him only plating one. So normally walking the first guy that you face out of the bullpen is going to draw the ire of people like me and you. But when it's Vladdy Jr. and then you get the next two batters in order, I tip my cap to Jose Quas. Nice start to the season, young man. Text lines there for you, 913-586-7610. Let's run through a few of these text messages real quick. Thanks to Heather in Mexico, Missouri, for listening. Glad you tuned into the post-game show. Don't forget, you can always, if you miss the post-game show, you can subscribe to the All Things Vern channel on the Odyssey app or wherever you get podcasts. All of my interviews, all the podcasts, all the post-game shows can be found on the Odyssey app. Just search All Things Vern. Also, if you live in the 610 Sports Radio listening area, you can listen to Royals games right there on your phone or on your smart speaker by utilizing the Odyssey app. Again, AUDACY. A few more from the text line. Dan in KCK says, Vern, Singer's double play of Kevin Kiermaier was the pitch of the night. Go Royals. Yeah, Dan's talking about the top of the fifth inning. Royals in front, 7-0. 7-0, top of five, bases loaded, nobody out. All of a sudden, a 7-run lead isn't as comfortable as you would think. A 7-run lead sounds comfortable, but with the bases loaded and George Springer on deck, not feeling so good. But Singer gets Kevin Kiermaier to ground into a 4-6-3 double play. One run scores, but you get two outs. I'll take it. George Springer comes to the dish, hits a grounder right back, or a hard ground ball back to Brady Singer. It caroms off of his hand, right to Nicky Lopez for an inning-ending ground ball 6-3. Singer did not report any sort of damage or soreness on that right hand. Thank God. 913-586-7610. Dan, thank you very much for listening. Always appreciate it. From the 816, Vern, apparently the Powder Blues were bad luck. Great win by the boys in blue, yeah. Maybe. Did they win? Or excuse me, did they wear powder blues in all three of the games against the Twins? I didn't think so. Maybe they did, and I just wasn't paying attention. I know they did in the opener. Not sure if they did the past two games. They did Saturday too? All right. Maybe they did all weekend then. All right. Not bad. Yeah, so okay, yeah. No more powder blues, we all agree? Or at least no more powder blue pants, right? That was the big change. From the 913, Vern, I hope somewhere in the depths of Kauffman Stadium, Whit Merrifield is playing a good-natured prank on Brady Singer. I hope he's not. I don't want him doing that. I hope it's the other way around. I got love for Whit Merrifield, as I said earlier today on the On Deck show. He's one of the 20, 25, 30 greatest position players in the history of this franchise. But Singer's the dude. Singer's higher on the totem pole of big leaguers right now. Whit Merrifield might be playing in October. Whit Merrifield's back of the baseball card is much more impressive. I'm not saying anything negative. But Brady Singer's the big dog right now. Pam writes in, Vern, I was not able to listen to the beginning of the game. How did the fans react to the return of Whit Merrifield? Well, he wasn't in the lineup and never made an appearance, so we wait until tomorrow. Merrifield will be in the lineup tomorrow facing the lefty Chris Bubich. I would assume it's going to be decidedly pro Whit Merrifield. I mean, I'm hoping it's 100% pro Whit Merrifield. I mean, I can't imagine you guys don't remember him on the diamond. I mean, just close your eyes and think of a ground ball to shortstop off of the bat of Whit Merrifield. How hard's he going down that first baseline? He's giving it everything. Right? A guy that played in every game for darn near four straight seasons. And you know what it's like in July and August and September here in Kansas City. I can't imagine Ned Yost or Mike Matheny or anybody would have said, no, you're in there. If Whit wanted a day off, he could have taken a day off. But he busted his tail to get in that lineup every single day. Yeah, you guys better give it up to Whit Merrifield. He put a good face on a lot of bad baseball. He was a top-notch employee for 98% of his time in Kansas City. I'll always appreciate the way he went about his business, and I hope you guys do too. I would assume that you would. You know, I've found in my time here that the people that those of you that come out to Kauffman Stadium, you're very different than the sentiment I receive on the text line, on Twitter, from the vocal minority. The people that are saying, boo Whit Merrifield, I can't imagine they're going to be here tomorrow. The Royals fans that show up to Kauffman Stadium tomorrow night, you're the diehards. And if you're a diehard Royal fan, you love Whit Merrifield for what he gave this organization. Get back to the text messages coming up in just a moment, but let's head back inside the Royals clubhouse. Nicky Lopez on base three times tonight with a pair of walks, scored a pair of runs, drove in a pair of runs with that two-run triple in the fourth inning, and made a terrific defensive play right out of the gate to help Brady Singer finish off that first inning. Let's hear Nicky Lopez talking about win number one, this audio courtesy of Bally Sports Kansas City.
The first one's always the hardest, whether it's, you know, first hit, you know, first innings pitched, you know, your first game in the big leagues. But, yeah, we showered him with some Dom Perignon for the first win as a manager. So it was really special. This team can do a lot. I mean, we have a lot of, you know, great guys in this clubhouse, great players. But like I said, the first one's always the hardest.
What has Cube been like over the first three games here? Obviously,
yeah, and I mean, you see what when he talks to the media that he understands how hard this game is. He gets it. And you can tell when you guys are in here how, you know, everyone's loose, everyone's, you know, enjoying themselves. And, you know, that's just a product of, you know, the culture we're building around here. So it's just, it's fun. It's fun playing for him. And, you know, and I know I can speak for a lot of guys.
All right, there you go. That's Nicky Lopez. And thanks to Annie Rogers of MLB.com for supplying the questions. A few more from the text line. Anthony in Blue Springs writes in, good move by Coach Q to tinker the lineup. Vern, I think this team will be a work in progress, but if they figure it out, look out. Yeah, yeah, I think that goes for most teams, honestly. If you can have hope going into opening day, and I think, man, you got to be a sad sack organization for your fan base to have zero hope going into opening day. I don't know. Maybe in Pittsburgh or Detroit, Oakland, maybe they felt that way. But I have hope coming into the season. I could close my eyes and envision this team making August and September exciting. That's going to take a lot. It's going to take a lot of question marks to turn into exclamation points. But yeah, Anthony, I agree. It will be a work in progress. But if they figure it out, look out. And I've said it a number of times. I think most teams, it comes down to, well, it's an entire team, of course, but I always like to break it down to three players. If these three guys meet or exceed expectations, it's going to be a fun summer. And for me, it's unfortunately a pair of guys on the IL and another one that's in AAA. To me, it comes to, if Daniel Lynch, Drew Waters, and Nick Prado click this year, look out. That's a squad. And that's, of course, reliant upon Jordan Lyles duplicating what he did last year, Zach Greinke and Brady Singer duplicating what they did last year, you know, Vinny Pasquantino doing what he did last year for a full season, same with MJ Melendez, improvement from Bobby Witt Jr. and Michael Massey and Kyle Isbell. Really, outside of the pitchers that I named, Singer, Greinke, and Lyles, outside of those three, the only names on this team that I go, hey, just do what you did last year and don't, that's all I need. You know, Salvi and Barlow. Salvi, Barlow, Lyles, Greinke, Singer, if they can duplicate their 2022s, good. Everybody else needs to improve, which is possible. I don't know if you're betting on it, but it is certainly possible, Anthony, so I appreciate you writing in. A few more from the text line, the Jay Southland Tow Service text line, 913-586-7610. Jay Southland Tow Service, also the proud sponsor of my game notes. And I think I've hit on all of them. And talking about the guys picking one another up, going first to third, some great base running. Brady picking up Nate Eaton. Put him with Bobby and Salvi, and now you got some right-handed pop to offset the left-handed pop of MJ, Vinny, and Massey. Thanks for the phone call, Bentley. Phone lines are open for you, 913-586-7610. We'll hear from Nicky Lopez and take a dive into that text line. Coming up, Royals win 9-5. We're back with more after this.
Burns Post Game Show on your home for Royals Baseball, 610 Sports Radio, and the Odyssey app. Welcome back to Vern's Post Game Show on your home for Royals Baseball in Kansas City, 610 Sports Radio.
Melendez clobbers it, deep right field, Springer's back, looks up, it's out of here! MJ Melendez blasts his first home run of the season! It's a two-run shot, and the Royals now lead 9-1 in the bottom of the sixth inning.
They'd go on to win 9-5. Jake Eisenberg on the call, as heard here on 610 Sports Radio. A two-run blast from MJ Melendez, who went 2-for-5, scored a pair of runs, and then, of course, plated the two that you just heard. 9 of his last 14 hits have gone for extra bases. Royals pick up win number one here in 2023. Win number one in the managerial career of Matt Cutrero. After the game, he was asked about his hitter's approach, as the Royals, 8 of the 9 hitters in the lineup had a knock. 8 of the 9 hitters in the lineup either scored a run or drove in a run. Here's what Q had to say about his O
tonight. I thought they were well prepared. You know, just listening to what they were saying about how Barrios was going to pitch and, you know, what they were looking for, I thought they were well prepared. And obviously they squared some balls up. The other thing that really stood out was the base running and going first to third 2 or 3 times in that one inning, forcing the issue. Taking advantage of our athleticism was big.
You may have heard a noise in the background. That was me frustrated, because that was going to be my question. How impressed were you with the base running? Because I know I was. The base running, the deep. Well, you won a baseball game. Of course, you're going to be impressed. Right? It's not very often you win a baseball game behind bad defense, bad base running. You got to do the little things well. And the Royals defended well, ran the bases well, pitched well. Brady Singer, 5 innings of 1-run baseball. Ryan Yarbrough continued to pound the strike zone. I'll give him that. Man, when you're not touching 90 miles per hour with your fastball, when you're breaking balls or upper 70s, and your heater's coming in there at 86, and they're fouling pitch off, and spitting on this and fouling that off, and you throw a 30-pitch 6th inning, and yet you don't allow any damage. You remain patient. You remain on the attack. You don't give in. Nice job, Ryan Yarbrough. Nice job, Jose Quas. I understand. He walked the first batter that he faced. Quas comes in the 7th inning with the bases loaded and one out. Vladimir Guerrero Jr. coming to the dish. You know what? I got no problem with a leadoff walk or walking the first batter that you face. I'm not going to begrudge you for doing that. Keep in mind, when Quas came out of the bullpen there in the top of the 7th inning, the Royals are already up 9-2. So you know what? Instead of giving up 4 runs and making a bad pitch to Vladimir Guerrero Jr., I'm fine with a walk. I'm fine with him only plating 1. So normally walking the first guy that you face out of the bullpen is going to draw the ire of people like me and you. But when it's Vladdy Jr. and then you get the next 2 batters in order, I tip my cap to Jose Quas. Nice start to the season, young man. Text lines there for you, 913-586-7610. Let's run through a few of these text messages real quick. Thanks to Heather in Mexico, Missouri, for listening. Glad you tuned into the post-game show. Don't forget, you can always, if you miss the post-game show, you can subscribe to the All Things Vern channel on the Odyssey app or wherever you get podcasts. All of my interviews, all the podcasts, all the post-game shows can be found on the Odyssey app. Just search All Things Vern. Also, if you live in the 610 Sports Radio listening area, you can listen to Royals games right there on your phone or on your smart speaker by utilizing the Odyssey app. Again, AUDACY. Few more from the text line. Dan and KCK says, Vern, Singer's double play of Kevin Kiermaier was the pitch of the night. Go Royals. Yeah, Dan's talking about the top of the 5th inning. Royals in front, 7-0. 7-0, top of 5, bases loaded, nobody out. All of a sudden, a 7-run lead isn't as comfortable as you would think. A 7-run lead sounds comfortable, but with the bases loaded and George Springer on deck, not feeling so good. But Singer gets Kevin Kiermaier to ground into a 4-6-3 double play. 1 run scores, but you get 2 outs. I'll take it. George Springer comes to the dish, hits a grounder right back, or a hard ground ball back to Brady Singer. It caroms off of his hand right to Nicky Lopez for an inning-ending ground ball 6-3. Singer did not report any sort of damage or soreness on that right hand, thank God. 913-586-7610. Dan, thank you very much for listening. Always appreciate it. From the 816, Vern, apparently the Powder Blues were bad luck. Great win by the boys in blue, yeah. Maybe. Did they win? Or, excuse me, did they wear Powder Blues in all three of the games against the Twins? I didn't think so. Maybe they did, and I just wasn't paying attention. I know they did in the opener. Not sure if they did the past two games. They did Saturday, too? All right. Maybe they did all weekend then. All right. Not bad. Yes. Okay. Yeah. No more Powder Blues. We all agree. Or at least no more Powder Blue pants, right? That was the big change. From the 913, Vern, I hope somewhere in the depths of Kauffman Stadium, Whit Merrifield is playing a good-natured prank on Brady Singer. I hope he's not. I don't want him doing that. I hope it's the other way around. I got love for Whit Merrifield, as I said earlier today on the On Deck show. He's one of the 20, 25, 30 greatest position players in the history of this franchise. But Singer's the dude. Singer's higher on the totem pole of big leaguers right now. Whit Merrifield might be playing in October. Whit Merrifield's back of the baseball card is much more impressive. I'm not saying anything negative. But Brady Singer's the big dog right now. Pam writes in, Vern, I was not able to listen to the beginning of the game. How did the fans react to the return of Whit Merrifield? Well, he wasn't in the lineup and never made an appearance, so we wait until tomorrow. Merrifield will be in the lineup tomorrow facing the lefty Chris Bubich. I would assume it's going to be decidedly pro Whit Merrifield. I mean, I'm hoping it's 100% pro Whit Merrifield. I mean, I can't imagine you guys don't remember him on the diamond. I mean, just close your eyes and think of a ground ball to shortstop off of the bat of Whit Merrifield. How hard's he going down that first baseline? He's giving it everything. Right? A guy that played in every game for darn near four straight seasons. And you know what it's like in July and August and September here in Kansas City. I can't imagine Ned Yost or Mike Matheny or anybody would have said, no, you're in there. If Whit wanted a day off, he could have taken a day off. But he busted his tail to get in that lineup every single day. Yeah, you guys better give it up to Whit Merrifield. He put a good face on a lot of bad baseball. He was a top-notch employee for 98% of his time in Kansas City. I'll always appreciate the way he went about his business, and I hope you guys do too. I would assume that you would. You know, I've found in my time here that the people that those of you that come out to Kauffman Stadium, you're very different than the sentiment I receive on the text line, on Twitter, from the vocal minority. The people that are saying, boo Whit Merrifield, I can't imagine they're going to be here tomorrow. The Royals fans that show up to Kauffman Stadium tomorrow night, you're the diehards. And if you're a diehard Royal fan, you love Whit Merrifield for what he gave this organization. Get back to the text messages coming up in just a moment, but let's head back inside the Royals clubhouse. Nicky Lopez on base three times tonight with a pair of walks, scored a pair of runs, drove in a pair of runs with that two-run triple in the fourth inning, and made a terrific defensive play right out of the gate to help Brady Singer finish off that first inning. Let's hear Nicky Lopez talking about win number one, this audio courtesy of Bally Sports Kansas City.
The first one's always the hardest, whether it's, you know, first hit, you know, first innings pitched, you know, your first game in the big leagues. But, yeah, we showered him with some Dom Perignon for the first win for as a manager. So it was really special. This team can do a lot. I mean, we have a lot of, you know, great guys in this clubhouse, great players. But like I said, the first one's always the hardest.
What has Q been like over the first three games here?
Yeah, and I mean, you see when he talks to the media that he understands how hard this game is. He gets it. And you can tell when you guys are in here how, you know, everyone's loose, everyone's, you know, enjoying themselves. And, you know, that's just a product of, you know, the culture we're building around here. So it's just, it's fun. It's fun playing for him. And, you know, and I know I can speak for a lot of guys.
All right, there you go. That's Nicky Lopez. And thanks to Annie Rogers of MLB.com for supplying the questions. A few more from the text line. Anthony in Blue Springs writes in, good move by Coach Q to tinker the lineup. Vern, I think this team will be a work in progress, but if they figure it out, look out. Yeah, I think that goes for most teams, honestly. If you can have hope going into opening day, and I think, man, you got to be a sad sack organization for your fan base to have zero hope going into opening day. I don't know. Maybe in Pittsburgh or Detroit, Oakland, maybe they felt that way. But I have hope coming into the season. I could close my eyes and envision this team making August and September exciting. It's going to take a lot. It's going to take a lot of question marks to turn into exclamation points. But yeah, Anthony, I agree. It will be a work in progress. But if they figure it out, look out. And I've said it a number of times. I think most teams, it comes down to, well, it's an entire team, of course, but I always like to break it down to three players. If these three guys meet or exceed expectations, it's going to be a fun summer. And for me, it's unfortunately a pair of guys on the IL and another one that's in AAA. To me, it comes to, if Daniel Lynch, Drew Waters, and Nick Prado click this year, look out. That's a squad. And that's, of course, reliant upon Jordan Lyles duplicating what he did last year, Zach Greinke and Brady Singer duplicating what they did last year. You know, Vinny Pasquantino doing what he did last year for a full season. Same with MJ Melendez. Improvement from Bobby Witt Jr. and Michael Massey and Kyle Isbell. Really, outside of the pitchers that I named, Singer, Greinke, and Lyles, outside of those three, the only names on this team that I go, hey, just do what you did last year and don't, that's all I need. You know, Salvi and Barlow. Salvi, Barlow, Lyles, Greinke, Singer, if they can duplicate their 2022s, good. Everybody else needs to improve, which is possible. I don't know if you're betting on it, but it is certainly possible, Anthony, so I appreciate you writing in. A few more from the text line, the Jay Southland Tow Service text line, 913-586-7610. Jay Southland Tow Service, also the proud sponsor of my game notes. And I think I've hit on all of them. And talking about the guys picking one another up, going first to third, some great base running. Brady picking up Nate Eaton. Bobby picking up Vinny Pasquantino. Great defense from Nicky, from Vinny, and from JBJ. Yeah, we hit on all of my notes from this one. Riley in Lotawana writes in, Singer is the savior. Simple enough. See, I don't want to do this again. Not directing this directly at you, Riley. But this can't become the norm. It goes back to what a previous caller had to say. Maybe the caller of the night, I think it was Tyler, up in South Bend. You know, instead of Brady always needing to be the stopper, love for him to be the starter. Bubich pick it up, and then Greinke, and then Lyles, and just like that, it's a four-game winning streak. It's a four-game sweep of the Toronto Blue Jays. I gave you the stat earlier, 20 of the last 25 starts for Brady Singer have come on the heels of a Royals loss. He's needed to play stopper in 80% of his starts dating back to the beginning of 2022. You don't. It's nice to know you have a guy that can be the stopper, but you really hate requesting him to play that role 80% of the time. Few more. This is from Scott in Phoenix. Vern, that's more like it. And you got just what you asked for pregame. Plenty of help for Singer tonight. And of course, he pitched his way, as we expected, as our stopper. Now let's do it again tomorrow. Yeah, Scott, you're right. Yeah, I know Brady Singer can do what he did tonight. I know Salvador Perez can put the offense on his back and lead him to victory. So it's nice to see a win being attributed to hitters not named Salvi. It's nice to see extra base power hitting with runners in scoring position coming from someone not named Salvador Perez, because you know that's going to be there from the great number 13. And we'll see the big fella in there tomorrow against lefty Yusei Kikuchi. Soft tossing it up there. Hopefully Salvi gets nice tomorrow night. From the 970, Vern, I'm not listening to the game, or excuse me, I didn't hear it come across the radio, but are fans giving George Springer the same treatment that Carlos Correa received? No is the answer. It's a very good question. Honestly, I think the Carlos Correa, Jose Altuve, it's done. It's over, right? Isn't it? They went back to the World Series. They won another one. Doesn't that kind of silence the haters, silence the doubters? Personally, I'm a big fan of George Springer, the ball player and the person. I'm a big fan of George Springer. I love watching that guy play. I'm a fan of Carlos Correa, too. I like a lot of the Astros. The team that cheated, I liked a lot of them. And the team that won the title last year, I liked even more of them. I'm a baseball fan first and foremost, and they play an exciting brand of baseball with some dudes on that team. One more from the text line. This is from Raj, who's reaching out from the Ozarks. He says, Vern, I met Mr. Sherman this morning at Kauffman Stadium as I was buying my tickets. He could not have been more gracious. Had a great time at the game. Singer getting that bases loaded double play was the difference. Signed, Raj in the Ozarks. Yeah, going back to what Dan and KCK had to say, that 4-6-3 double play in the fifth inning for Brady Singer getting Kevin Kiermaier. Getting Kiermaier to roll one up with the bases loaded and nobody out. Raj, thank you very much for listening. Appreciate all the text messages tonight. As game one of this four-game series goes to the good guys by a final score of 9-5, game two is tomorrow with Chris Bubich on the hill. 6:40 for the first pitch. I'll be on the air live from Kraft and Draft beginning at 5:30. Hey, don't forget, Matt Cotrero joins Fesco in the morning each and every Wednesday at 9 a.m. You can listen right there on your phone on the Odyssey app, the free Odyssey app, AUDACY. And don't forget to subscribe to the All Things Vern podcast. Thanks to Chris Unocero back at the studio for all the help. Thanks to you for listening. And I'll talk to you tomorrow. Take care.
You've been listening to Vern's postgame show.
Diving is MJ Melendez. Did he make that catch? He did!
Check out the All Things Vern channel on 610sports.com and the Odyssey app to stay up to date with your boys in blue.
And a swing and a miss. He struck him out with a fastball. Seventh strikeout for Daniel Lynch.
On your home of the Royals, 610 Sports Radio. We now take you back to regularly scheduled programming.